Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome to Asbury United Methodist Church. I'm Pastor Heather Dorr, and I serve with Pastor Tom Carver, who's bringing us the word this morning. Actually, the final word of our sermon series, The Power of Words, as we finish up our January sermon series. I just wanted to lift up a few pieces here in our Did You Know section of the bulletin. Our ushers will be passing around the attendance pads in a few minutes. I ask you to register your attendance with us. It helps us to know who's here. And if you're a guest, it's helpful for us to be able to follow up with you and reach out to you and let you know more about Asbury. Speaking of guests, it is not in your bulletin, but today is our quarterly newcomers gathering. And so if you're a guest with us today, or you would like to connect to some of our new people at Asbury, or just find out what ways you can get involved, it's not just for people who are new to Asbury, but it is aimed at that group. You can come downstairs to the treehouse, to the children's programming area, after worship, starting at 9:45, and we'll have a newcomers gathering. It's a way to get to know people, have conversation, get people connected to the church, and there will be refreshments as well. So if the coffee line is too long, you can skip the line and head down to downstairs and get a special treatment. So wanted to highlight that for any guests that we have or people interested in connecting with our newcomers. But I have three other announcements to lift up here on the screen. The first is Asbury and Mission and a short-term prayer group. And so starting tomorrow afternoon at 1:30, for 6 weeks, we're going to be having some prayer and discernment time about how we can be best poised for mission. So if you want to spend some time with some people in prayer in the next few weeks, if you would like to discuss and discern how we can be in mission and ministry with our community and in our world, you are invited. This is an open invitation. We'll be meeting in the prayer chapel, and we'll be reading a little scripture and be talking about a question. So I'm excited about this. It'll be every Monday for 6 weeks starting tomorrow. Next is that I know there's been a need for hosts for Wednesday night meal. I also think that since I said we needed to announce this, they've covered more dates, but there are still more dates. So if your group has not signed up for a meal on Wednesday night to host it for this spring, get together with your committee, get together with some of your friends, discuss when you could help serve that meal, and it just makes Wednesday nights a wonderful time to get together. Final thing to be lifted up is that we are looking for some new employees here at Asbury. And so we just wanted to lift up, start getting that through the grapevine. Gail Hale will be leaving us this spring, which is very sad. She's been our accounts payable person, and she's been our social media technology person as well. And so we're actually splitting that into two positions, and we'll have some job descriptions next week. Or are they out there today? So you can look in either Narthex and see what those positions look like. You might have a friend, a child, a niece or a nephew, someone who's looking for a position as either kind of a technological person, visuals, graphics, or as more accounting work and office help. So those are the two positions that we're looking for, both part-time, and you could check out those job descriptions. Other than that, I invite you to take a moment, take a few deep breaths, open yourself up to Christ being with us in worship this morning, and I will ask you to stand for the call to worship after the choir has sung their introit. Please rise. We are here to worship a God of encouragement. Be strong and courageous. With God's help, you can do it. Together in the unison prayer. Gracious God, you have given us a job to do. Sometimes we do it well, and other times we fall short. But the very fact that you have trusted us enough to give us that job shows that you have confidence in us. Help us all do our best and make you proud. We pray in Jesus' name. Amen. You and share signs of peace and love and welcome with one another.
Thank you.
At this time, we share our lives with one another. We share with the beloved community the places where we are excited and filled with joy and want to celebrate, and the places where we've had a tough week, or those that we know and love need extra prayers and support. So if you'd like to lift up a joy or concern, you can stand up or raise your hand, and then we can be in specific prayer for one another. I see two over here.
Hi, I'm Patty Sorensen. Steve tore his Achilles tendon playing pickleball, all you pickleball players. And I am asking prayers for me to get to get through the next 6 weeks, no weight bearing. So we're doing well, he's doing good, and he's being really good so far. So thanks a lot for everybody who knows about it.
Good morning, my name is Valerie Maher. We are very happy that Ed's sister, Marilyn Baer, has had cancer treatment, and she's doing fine and is recouped from that. But prayers for Ed's brother, who is Charles Maher, who is recovering from cancer, and hopefully will still, he's still fighting it.
Good morning, I'm Carol Jackson. I want to make sure that you are all aware that this afternoon at 2 o'clock is the anointing ceremony for new parish nurses. There are seven of them in the area, and we're very fortunate to have one from our church, which is Cheryl Ewert, and so I invite you all to come and celebrate in her anointing ceremony this afternoon at 2 o'clock.
Hi, I decided to give my praise today. I'm Ronna Loeth, and my sister Denise is here. She was here with us at Christmas time and also now to visit our 105-year-old mother. And so we're just happy to have Denise being with us at this time.
Any others? There are a few joys that I wanted to lift up. The first is that Patrick Malloy, who is our youth and young adult director for 2 years, he wanted me to share with you that he has accepted a position as a resident chaplain at a VA hospital in Sioux Falls, South Dakota. So he'll be graduating from seminary this spring, and he'll be serving as a resident chaplain, and I'm excited for him. It sounds like a great position for him. I'll tell him you clapped. I don't think he'll listen to the recording, but I'll tell him you clapped. The other thing that I wanted to lift up was that in August, my family will be adding a new little baby. I'll tell my husband you clapped. So I am 10 weeks along today, and we had our ultrasound last week, so we're really excited. Also, surprised and excited to realize that Becca Johnson of the nursery is also due in August. And so you may see celebrations. Make sure you pop in and congratulate her as well after worship. Double trouble, Carrie says. Uh-oh, I hope not. That is Carrie's daughter, who's one of our nursery attendants. So, all right. Any others to lift up? All right. Let's sing a verse of a song. And then we'll have a moment of silence, and we'll come before the Lord with all of the prayers that have been lifted up and others that we brought with us today. And then I'll offer a prayer, and we'll share together in the Lord's Prayer.
Thank you. Wonderful God, we thank you for the blessings of this week. We thank you for the joys and celebrations. We thank you for time spent with family and friends. We thank you for the big and the small ways that we have felt your presence with us, your constant encouragement and love. We lift up to you those that are in need of extra prayers, those that are in need of healing of the mind and the body and the soul, those that are preparing for death and those that are mourning the loss of a loved one, those that are fighting battles or going through transitions. Wonderful God, we lift these people up to you and ask for hope and encouragement and strength. If we can be the answer to someone's prayer this week, send us to their side. Give us the words that we must say, or give us the courage to be quiet and to listen. Wonderful God, in all things we praise you for the ways that you have blessed us, the ways that you have loved us and encouraged us, and the ways that we feel your presence with us as we travel through this life. We pray all these things in the name of your Son, the one who taught us to pray when he said, "Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen." Feels good to have that cat out of that bag. Okay. Whew. All right, we are ready for our first scripture reading today. It comes from the book of 1 Peter. We're in chapter 5, which is at the end of the book, verses 6 through 12. "Humble yourselves, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, so that he may exalt you in due time. Cast all your anxiety on him because he cares for you. Discipline yourselves, keep alert. Like a roaring lion, your adversary, the devil, prowls around looking for someone to devour. Resist him, steadfast in your faith, for you know that your brothers and sisters in all the world are undergoing the same kinds of suffering. And after you have suffered a little while, the God of all grace, who has called you to his eternal glory in Christ, will himself restore, support, strengthen, and establish you. To him be the power forever and ever. Amen. Through Silvanus, whom I consider a faithful brother, I have written this short letter to encourage you and to testify that this is the true grace of God. Stand fast in it." This is God's word for God's people. Thanks be to God. I'd like to invite the children forward to talk with Pastor Tom here on the steps.
Encourage means? What does it encourage?
That you're helping people and you're saying things that encourage.
Yeah, that's right. It means you're helping people and you say things that encourage them. So when you encourage somebody, like that helps them get better. That's right. So if you have you ever been to like a game, a football game or a basketball game or been to a hockey game? Right. So who's involved in the hockey game? There's the You went to Iowa. So there's the players, aren't there? The players on the team that are playing the game. That's part of what happens, right? And then who else is there? There's the coaches, right? Aren't there there's the referees that help the game go along fairly. Can you think of anybody else?
And there are the cheerleaders.
There are the cheerleaders. That's exactly right. What are the cheerleaders' job?
To cheer them on.
To cheer them on and encourage them. And when the cheerleaders yell, they'll yell something like, you can do it, or say, you're our team, we like you, go team, and so on. And so the cheerleaders, when the players hear that, you know what, that can actually help them do better, doesn't it? Yeah. Do you do better when somebody says, you can do it, and they encourage you and say and believe in you? Doesn't that help you do better?
Yeah.
So when you go to a game, you can, huh? Exactly. Then when the whole crowd yells for somebody and gives encouragement, that helps all the players do better, doesn't it? Because they know all those people believe in them and know that they can do it. So they're going to try even harder, okay? So what we're thinking about today is how we just read a letter from a man named Peter, and he said he wrote this letter to encourage the people who will read it. Peter knew that he had a job to do from Jesus. And later on, Peter would tell other people they've got a job to do to help other people know God's love and to build God's kingdom here on earth. And even though it would be a hard job, Peter wanted to say, I encourage you. You can do it. I have confidence in you. Go team. And when we read that in the Bible, and we can remember that God also wants to encourage us and say, you can do it. You can, you're going to do great. Get out there and go. That's what we hear from God. And we can do that for each other too, can't we? Encourage one another? Okay? Okay, so here's what we're thinking today. How important it is for all of us to encourage people to say, you can do it. And in the old days, the cheerleaders, before they had microphones and things, they held what they called megaphones. You know what a megaphone is?
It's something that you yell into.
It is. It's something that you yell into. So look at here. We have some that you can yell into that says, you can do it. You want to take one? It's kind of a small megaphone. Whoops. There you go. There you go. There you go. Oh, well, wait. You got to blow in the, or yell in the other end. Okay, so you yell in the small end, and then it makes your voice come out louder on the other end.
You can do it.
Well, that is so good. Tell you what.
You can do it.
Fiona, just like this. Can you put it up like this? And we're all going to say, you can do it together. I'll count to three.
I am a robot.
Okay. Put it up to your mouth. One, two, three. Okay, let's have a prayer together, and then we'll be good to go. Let's pray. I'll say it, and then you say it right after me, okay? Dear God, thank you for the job you've given us. And thank you for the encouragement to know we can do it. With Jesus' help. Amen. All right. Thank you. Boy, thanks, Joe. And Gail, members of our choir, to proclaim the glory of the Lord. That's one of our tasks, and we can do it. And you just did. Thank you. I want to share our gospel reading for today from the Gospel of John, the last chapter near the end of John's gospel, chapter 21. I'm going to share verses 15 through 19. And the setting is, now this is after Jesus' death, his resurrection, his appearances to the disciples in Jerusalem. But then over time, you know, Matthew, Mark, and Luke tell a little bit different versions of what happened. The appearances of Jesus in Matthew, Mark, and Luke happened there in Jerusalem. But John includes that the disciples at some point must have gone back to Galilee, back to the Sea of Galilee, the northern part of the Holy Lands. And there the disciples were gone back to what they knew. They were fishing, and at some point they see Jesus was on the shore. This is the risen Jesus after his death and resurrection. And they come and they've got breakfast. Jesus got some breakfast for them, some fish that he's prepared. And then we read about this interchange between Jesus and Peter. When they had finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Peter said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Feed my lambs." A second time, Jesus said to Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he said to him, "Yes, Lord, you know that I love you." And Jesus said to him, "Tend my sheep." He said to him the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter felt hurt because he said this to him the third time, "Lord, or do you love me?" And Peter said to him, "Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you." Jesus said to him, "Feed my sheep. Very truly I tell you, when you were younger, you used to fasten your own belt and to go wherever you wished. But when you grow old, you will stretch out your hands, and someone else will fasten a belt around you and take you where you do not wish to go." He said this to indicate the kind of death by which Peter would glorify God. After this, Jesus said to him, "Follow me." Well, this is the word of God for the people of God. Well, today we're going to talk about the power of words and the power of words to encourage. One of the examples I can remember in my own life of the power of words was back in the day as an athlete in high school, I was a wrestler. And I wasn't really a very good one. But I remember one time we were wrestling against Indianola and was wrestling. I was up against their best wrestler. And I remember, like, the introductions, if you've been at a wrestling match, you know, you line up on either side, they call out each weight, you run across and you shake their hand, you go back. And when it was our turn, you know, I went out, and he came across. I remember, and he kind of goes like this, make a muscle or something while he shakes my hand. And I was just like, "What the heck?" You know, and kind of walked back and says, "What is he trying to make me look like a fool or something?" And so the more I thought about it, I says, "Doggone it," you know. And so I'm not a very aggressive person, if you can imagine that. But I got to thinking more and more, and by the time we're ready to wrestle, I was just ready for this guy. And we went out, and I probably wrestled like I never had before. And we're just going and whatever. And there was a time where there was a break, and my coach was there and says, "He's not used to this. You can do this, you know." I thought, "I can't do this. Let me at him, you know." And he was a much better wrestler than I was. But again, we were just kind of flying around and going at it. And luckily for me, there was some kind of move. I wasn't intentionally trying to do it. But just in the whatever, I fell on his head. And they had to stop the match, you know, and he was a little bit groggy and stuff like that. And so, you know, he had to forfeit and came out, you know, and I won the match. And that's probably one of the best I'd ever wrestled. And it's a good thing it didn't go the whole match. I don't know that I could have held up on it. But part of it was because my coach looked at me and said, "You can do this. He's not used to this. You could go after him. And I believed him, even though if I hadn't thought about it, I didn't think I had much of a chance against that other wrestler. We're thinking today about the power of words, how they make a difference, and specifically the power of words to encourage others. Encourage means to the action of giving someone support, confidence, or hope. It gives them strength to face whatever challenge they might have to face. And words of encouragement can make a difference. Would you pray with me? Gracious God, we thank you and praise you for this time to be together. And we thank you for the words of encouragement that you give to us through your holy word and through your son Jesus and through the people that you send to us. May we hear your vote of confidence today that we can do it and we can fulfill your mission. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. You see, in the gospel reading that I just shared with you a moment ago, and in my mind, it's Jesus is really telling Peter, this is your job. Again, the setting, it's after they've been together for some 3 years, and you know, Peter has, you know, been the outspoken one. At times he's right on, at times he falls short. When Jesus was arrested, Peter denied him three times. And so Peter must have been going through all these emotions of, you know, I'm a failure, I can't do this, it's too hard, he'd run away. But when Jesus appeared to them after he was risen from the grave, and again, something we can't explain, we're not sure what happened, but we know people like Peter, their lives were changed. And he went from a frightened man to someone who would be willing to give his life for this Jesus. There were some appearances there in Jerusalem, but then, again, we're not sure of the time frame. It's kind of hard to put it together. It doesn't really matter. But at some point, John tells us they're back in Galilee, back where they started. And Peter and the others had gone back out fishing again. And while they're out there on the lake, they see somebody on the shore and realize it's Jesus. It's the risen Lord. They come back all excited. Jesus has got a fire going. He's got some fish, breakfast. And then there's this chance, this exchange between Peter and Jesus. And Jesus asked him, Peter, do you love me? And Peter, after all, yes, of course, you know I love you. Jesus gave him his assignment, feed my lambs. Jesus was telling Peter, continue my work. Now it's up to you. This is part of what Jesus' mission had been all along. Jesus had received the mission from God to save this world. God so loved the world that he sent his only son in order to save it. And Jesus knew that. He knew it was going to be difficult. He had prayed and, you know, gone through his life, not my will, but thine be done. But Jesus also knew to accomplish his mission, he was going to have to raise up disciples who could carry on when he was gone. We saw that in the very 3 years of Jesus' ministry, that it went from Jesus could only be at one place at one time to where he'd raised up 12 disciples. They went out and continued to preach the word. And then a little bit later, Luke tells us he raised up 72 others. They went out two by two. So even in Jesus' lifetime, we could see that multiplication happen from Jesus being at one place and one time in the flesh to now a whole group of people going out to spread the good news of the kingdom of God. Jesus' mission was to save the world. And he knew it was going to take longer than his lifetime. And he knew to get that done, he would have to raise up disciples who could carry on after he was gone. And that's what he did. And so in that upper room, that last night of Jesus' ministry before he's taken, he was with those 12 and he said, as the Father sent me, so now I send you. He'd completed his task. He'd raised up his disciples. It was time for him to go. And he told them, I'll be leaving you, but don't be afraid. I'll send my Spirit, or God's Holy Spirit will be with you, and you can continue the mission. Now then, when Jesus and Peter are on that shores of the Sea of Galilee, that's what Jesus is saying. Peter, do you love me? Now here's your job. Feed my sheep. He emphasizes it, asks him a second time, Simon, son of John, do you love me? And Peter says, well, yes, Lord, you know that I love me. Tend my sheep. And again, to try to figure out what the gospel writer was thinking, you know, why is it different sheep versus lamb, ten versus feed? You know, there's all kinds of speculation. There's no way we can get into the mind of John when he wrote this down of really what he meant. But we can certainly wonder and speculate. In my interpretation for you, today the main point is Jesus is saying to Peter, take over my job. Tend my sheep and feed my sheep and continue the work that God has sent me to do. A third time then Jesus says to Peter, Simon, son of John, do you love me? It's like he's really giving him the chance to redeem himself. Remember, Peter had denied Jesus three times previously. So perhaps Jesus was emphasizing, here's three times now that Peter can say, yes, Lord, you know I love you. But it kind of got to Peter. He said, Lord, I just told you. I mean, why is it three times? The third time, now, don't you believe me? Yes, Lord, you know everything. You know that I love you. And Jesus said then again, feed my sheep. And then Jesus goes on to say, you know, I know you love me. And here's your job to continue your mission, the mission that God gave to me. And I know, and you need to know, it's going to be difficult. For example, when you were younger, you used to do what you want, but there's coming a day when you'll be older, somebody will bind you or take you by the belt, by the waist, and take you to where you don't want to go. And John, the gospel writer, is even saying this is kind of an indication that Peter was going to have to give his life at some point. And did Jesus fully, or did Peter fully understand what it meant at the time? Probably not. But I think he knew this was going to be tough. But in my interpretation for you today, Jesus is saying to Peter, you can do it. I wouldn't give you this mission if I didn't think you could do it. You can feed my sheep and tend my lambs and feed my flock. You can continue the message, the work that I've given to you, even though it'll be difficult, even though you'll be taken against your will, even though at some point you will have to give up your life. You can do it. My interpretation, Jesus saying, I have confidence in you. You can do this. Now, fast forward a few years. And here's a letter attributed to Peter, 1 Peter. And Peter has also been giving encouragement to the followers. He has continued Jesus' work. He's gone out and he's spread the word. He was making disciples. He was helping others to know of God's love and forgiveness that he had experienced through Jesus. He was helping them to be prepared to also raise up disciples after Peter was gone. And so part of that, Peter now is writing this letter to give encouragement and instruction and strength to the people. He's saying, now it's your job. And here's part of what he tells them. He says, first of all, to be humble. Humble yourselves. This is part of what you'll need. You can do it. You're going to have to remember it's not about you. It's God working through you. Humble yourselves, but also discipline yourselves. This is going to be hard. He's challenging them to be ready. I mean, it's like Satan, the enemy, is prowling around to get you at any moment. You've got to be ready. You've got to be strong. It's like training or preparing an athlete for some kind of a match or a contest. Peter was telling his people who would come after him, be humble. It's not about you, but be strong. Discipline yourselves. Be ready because this is not going to be easy. But he says you're going to suffer a little bit, but after you've gone through that, just know that you have been called to the eternal glory in Christ, and Christ himself will support you, will strengthen you, will establish you. To him be power forever and ever. Peter, in this letter, was saying, it's not about you. God is going to do this. God's Spirit, the power of Jesus at work in you, is what will enable you to find a strength you didn't even know you had. And Peter, in his letter, is saying, you can do it. I believe in you. And so he makes it even clearer. He says that through Silvanus, which would have been a colleague or somebody else, oftentimes in the ancient days there was a secretary or somebody else who would write their letter or send it off. But he says clearly, through Silvanus, whom I consider a faithful brother, I have written this short letter to encourage you. And to testify that this is the true grace of God, stand fast in it. Peter saying, you can do it. Now, These are great words of encouragement that Peter had received from Jesus that he was now passing on to the people that he was writing this letter to. And now we can hear as well. These are letters. These are words for us to encourage us that God has faith in us that we can do it. And the power of words is that we also have words that we can use to pass on to others encouragement and strength and comfort and guidance. Our words make a difference. And sometimes we can have the negative effect as well. We've been talking in this sermon series about how the power of words to create, just like God could create using the words. In the beginning was the Word. The Word was God, was with God. God used words to create. We also have the power to use our words to create and to take things from our mind and to bring them into reality. There's the power of words to connect, to define relationships with other folks, and to say, I love you, and I support you, and I'm with you, and I care about you. The power of words to inspire, to paint a picture of God's preferred future, to say, that's where we want to go. Doesn't it look great? Let's go. And now the power of words to encourage. Each one of those, there's a downside. The words can also destroy. Words can also discourage folks. Words can also paint a picture that is not of God, that leads people in the wrong direction. Our words have a power, have effect. I'm embarrassed to tell you, there was a time our kids were in athletics, in sports. And so our girls were playing high school basketball, Cedar Rapids Prairie, against our arch rival Cedar Rapids Xavier. And we're at the Five Seasons Center, the large auditorium in Cedar Rapids. And so it's a big place. There's a lot of people there. And it's near the end of the first half where the clock is running down. It's a close game. And Xavier has the ball, and they're bringing it up for one last shot. They've got probably about 15 seconds. The girl gets about half court, and I'm up in the stands, and I go, 3, 2, 1, shoot it! And the girl shoots it. With about 7 seconds left on the clock, it messes up their last shot, and people in the crowd look up at me like, what? She's like, I was embarrassed. I didn't think it would make a difference. But they heard it, and it does. And I was embarrassed because I felt bad about, anyway. But it was Xavier, so I didn't feel that bad. I love Xavier, folks, anyway. But listen to this. Here's what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 12, verses 36 and 37. Jesus said, I tell you, on the day of judgment, you will have to give an account for every careless word that you utter. For by your words you'll be justified, and by your words you will be condemned. You see the importance, the power of how we use our words. Now, again, this is the end of our sermon series about the power of words, and I want to leave you with the words of encouragement that you can do it. God has given to us this mission just like he did to Peter, and just like Peter passed on to someone else, has passed on to us. Our mission is not to raise up this church or just to do well, but it's to raise up disciples who can transform the world. Our mission is Jesus' mission to save this world, to be involved outside the church, to make a difference, to have God's kingdom come on earth as it is in heaven, and it will be difficult. It'll be challenging. There'll be sacrifices that will have to be made. But God has confidence in us, and so do I. You can do it. We can do it. Now, I thought about an image that would really kind of express this to take home with you to remember. And this is what came to mind, if you've seen this before. And in researching this, I learned a little bit, but that this poster was actually drawn up by an artist in Pittsburgh to be used inside the Westinghouse Company for only about 2 weeks in February of 1942. I mean, we often think it's Rosie the Riveter, but it was really only used internally at Westinghouse as a way to encourage both the male and female workers there to do their best. You know, because in World War II, there was a great need for workers, as many of the men had gone off to war. Many of the women stepped up. They filled in, even though they only got about 50 cents on the dollar in terms of their pay. It wasn't right then. It's not right now. That's just a side note. But it wasn't until the 1980s that this poster then was discovered and brought back and became a symbol of a message for female empowerment, and especially for women that we can do this. It's a sign of strength and a sign of confidence. Now, like I say, interesting to find out during the war that was only internally used for about 2 weeks in the Midwest at the Westinghouse facilities. But that now has become kind of an iconic figure of confidence and strength and saying that we can do this. So something that can also be easily passed on from one generation to the next. Take a look at this. So if you recognize Dulce Anderson, Erickson, that's a pretty good example. I think that girl can do anything. She can do it. And you give her encouragement when you say to young people, you can do this. Now, here's what I want us to remember today. We've been given a mission just like Peter. And Jesus said to Peter, feed my sheep, tend my lambs, you can do it. Peter wrote to other people that he had raised up and said to them, it's going to be difficult, it's going to be hard, but stand firm, hold fast, follow Jesus, you can do it. I want to say to you today that you can use your words to create our world as God intends. You can use your words to connect to one another, to establish relationships of love and forgiveness. You can use your words to inspire by painting a picture of God's preferred future. And you can use your words to encourage people by telling them they can do it, by walking with them and helping them and showing them, but also letting them know as a child of God, with God's Spirit within them, they can do it. Friends, I want to leave you with today is you can do it. We can do it. Amen. We want to share now our tithes and offerings and invite the ushers to come forward. And we're going to have a special number on the Play El Piano with Deb DeCamp and Gail Baldwin. I just want to let you know, and ushers, you can get started. But Friday night, we had a concert here. This place was packed. World-class pianists here playing on this piano, sponsored by the Quad City Symphony. But it was a fantastic, and they were just awed at this piano. And we get to use it every week. And so we're blessed beyond measure. But this is a special piece now with Gail and Deb DeCamp as we share our tithes and offerings. So that's a world-class piano. And that was some world-class playing, so thank you. Hey, would you stand and join with me as we praise God with our tithes?
Together in the prayer of dedication. Awesome God, may these offerings further the work of your church in transforming this world. And we dedicate to you the words that we will speak this week. May they continue your creating work, connect us to others, and inspire people to action. May we especially use our words to encourage the brothers and sisters with us on this journey. In Christ we pray. Amen.
So for our final hymn this morning, you'll see that the words are actually in Spanish. It is a Spanish hymn. So I think, I don't know if we've got anybody to sing in Spanish, so Gail is going to play it, the melody in Spanish. The choir is going to sing the first verse as a way to kind of learn it, and then invite you to play, sing along in the second two verses. You are the seed.
Thank you.
We'd like to invite you all to share in a time of fellowship in the Upper Fellowship Hall, coffee and refreshments just through the double doors there. And next week, we'll continue a new sermon series on the heart of prayer. We're called to be followers of Jesus. It'll be difficult, it'll be hard, but we'll be sustained in our relationship with the Lord. And prayer is the foundation of that relationship to lead us into a life of power. I hope you'll come back next week for that as well. At this point, as you go into the world to proclaim the good news, go knowing that God goes with you. There's a world to save. You've been given a mission, and you can do it. The blessing of God the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit goes with you now and always. Amen.